So here we go. When we decide, this is where this starts out. You ever made a decision? Yeah, we all make decisions. When we decide to do something or accept, I'll put it that way, what we've been called to do by God, how serious are we? That's what we need to ask ourselves. How serious are we when we know it's what we're supposed to do, when we make that decision, or when we know that the Lord wants us to do that? It's not, in other words, I want to say the Great Commission. We'll throw the Great Commission in there because it's a kind of, it's for everybody.
Yeah.
But sometimes the Lord lays specific little things in our heart to do, and we say we accept it, but how serious are we? Because it could change a lot of things, and it could also change the way people see us. Mm-hmm. You say, when we're serious about serving the Lord, you can count on it. There is a change coming.
Oh, yeah.
In my life, when I got serious about doing what the Lord asked me to do, when I got saved in 1984, it's on a Sunday, and I was at church, and I trusted the Lord as Savior. Well, the next day, of course, I'm going to work out South Padre Island, and not everybody had a beach job. Of course, I didn't never see the beach much because I was down in a hole for a long time. We were building pan decks. Well, anyway, this guy picked me up. Well, I'm excited, man. I want to tell somebody. Hey, I done got saved. You know, I'm no longer on the road to hell. I'm now on the road to heaven. And life's fixing to be a whole lot different for me. Oh, it was different, all right. He looks at me and he said, look, I don't need that. And I'm like, what? He said, I don't need that. Well, I kind of got the hint. In other words, shut up. He was being nice. I get to work and I'm walking around and few people I'm telling. And then I had this one dude working with me. He was a Pentecostal. He was my helper. And oh, bless his heart, he was a strange bird. I told him and he's, woo! You know, he said, next you'll be talking in tongues. And I'm like... Well, then there was another guy there working, and I walked up to him, and I ain't even said a word to him. I never realized what he was or who he was till that day. He looks at me, and he had these eyes that, like, and I just sort of like, and he said, look, and he said, I won't say what he said. I ain't interested in your bleep, bleep, bleep. He said, do you realize who I am? Well, and then as I backed up, I kind of looked down. He was a biker. Uh-huh. And I'd been getting along with him fine.
Yeah.
But he had on his pentagram belt buckle that morning. And I'm like, ah. And I just walked on off. It was quite the change when that took place in my life with people that I had been associating with. But now, when the Lord calls you to do a specific thing, there's a lot of changes are going to happen. There's some, when we get serious about serving the Lord, as I said, count on it, a change is coming. I looked at poor old Noah. Noah's living his life, probably going out and fishing. Maybe, I don't know. Could have been doing a little squirrel hunting. I'm not sure what they did back then, totally. But I don't think they were squirrel hunting, but they might have been. Man, can you imagine the squirrels back in that day? Oh, been like that? No, instead of them little bitty ones we got. You never know. but he was busy doing whatever he's doing, and all of a sudden the Bible says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You'd think that's a good thing. And it is a good thing. Saved Noah's life, right? Saved him, his wife, three sons, three wives. Saved all of their lives. But what a change it was for Noah, because Noah had been hanging out with all these people. Now listen, when we read the Bible, we don't see all of the whole picture sometimes.
Right.
I don't think Noah just hung out with his wife and his three sons and his three wives. I'd say Noah had some friends. You know, he was out there with some buddies of his. I mean, he knew them down at the lumber store. And he had to go get it from somewhere. Right? So, you know, here Noah is. He's out there doing his normal thing. And Noah finds grace in the eyes of the Lord, because the Lord come down and said, man, this place is horrible. Wicked. There's no telling what else they may think. He's bound to look down at earth right now and figure that.
Yeah.
How wicked can they go? And so the next thing we read about is the Lord said, Noah, I want you to build an ark. A what? I mean, you know, you got to wonder if he thought that. a who? A what? Because they ain't never been sailing. So he says, okay. How are you going to build an ark? Well, the Lord gave him the blueprints to build the ark.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, in the process of building, he didn't just go out there and build a boat. But here he is building this ark. And all of these people are like, what's this fool doing? You know, what an idiot. He's building a what? We don't even know what an ark is. Yeah. It hadn't rained up to that day. I don't think they went sailing. You know, I don't really read of any big bodies of water around there. So I don't know if they had a lake, Lake Jerusalem, or, you know, well, Jerusalem wasn't there. But I don't know if they had that or not. So, but not only did Noah agree with God to build an ark, he also agreed with God. God said, now listen, while you're building that ark, you need to warn all these people. They're going to die because I'm going to flood the earth, which is something they've never happened before either. Amen. You know, the world is different. So you got to figure Noah probably lost some family. He probably lost a lot of good friends, especially when he started telling them, listen, you don't get on the boat with me. You don't change your wicked ways. You don't get your life right, you're going to perish. By the way, we all know what that word means. Perish is not just dying. Perish is a continuation. You're going to go on down to hell. And so he had to have lost some people. He had to have lost people he cared about. And in order to put up with all he put up with, he must have had a lot of compassion for these people.
Yeah.
And he preached, Bible says, 120 years. Never got nobody saved. And we thought Jeremiah was bad.
Yeah.
Jeremiah preached 40 years, not one person turned. They were wishing they had it, but there was a lot of them wishing it. I think it happened so quick they didn't have time to wish, to think too much. But you see, Noah, everything changed for Noah. What about Abraham? Here's Abraham, he's doing fine living there in what that little city he was in. What was the other one?
Haran.
Yeah, it may have been Haran. You know, there have been some studies, that's a pretty fancy town. It had a library and all kind of stuff. Here Abraham is, he's doing good, dad's worshiping idols. He's probably following dad, worshiping idols, and all of a sudden God showed up. Now it doesn't say how God showed up. He just said he appeared unto him and said, hey, Abraham. Yep. You know, I ain't sure how he showed up. It may have been some form of somebody or something. I don't know.
That's right.
But Abraham said, yeah. And he says, pack up, leave all your family and get out of here. You're going to a place that I'll tell you about.
Well, we don't read where Abraham argued about it. He packed up and left, although he didn't quite do what the Lord said. Of course, that may not have been his fault,
because he ended up over in Ur. Where are you from, Ur? How would you like to live? Ur.
He ended up there, and the Lord let him stay there until his dad died. And then he says, okay, it's time to go again. And Abraham packed up and left.
Now, Abraham left everything he knew, left all of his family, except for one. That was a mistake. And headed off to somewhere out there in the sunset. Everything changed for him. He no longer had his king-size bed and his condo in downtown Haran. He had to leave his Mercedes behind because, you know, I don't know what all he left behind. But he left. You know, when we think about those times, we think, what's that, somewhere in the neighborhood of 4,000 years ago? We want to think of it as they were out there with clubs and beating on each other. Listen, they were pretty slick folk.
Yeah.
Man, they had, Egypt had hot and cold running water.
Oh, man.
They weren't dumb as we thought. They even had toilets that flushed. And pretty, I don't know how they, you know, I don't know if they're like that or if they just, I don't know.
You ever watch that one dude? What was that little guy? Arf?
Alf. Yeah, the first time I ever saw him, that little creature from space or something.
Oh, yeah.
Looked down in there and it was going around and around. He said, interesting concept. And always, I got a kick out of that. You know, they had a lot back then. They weren't just running around a bunch of cavemen and couldn't write and couldn't speak good. They were pretty educated people. So Abraham, he left his home, left most of his family. He left his friends, put it all aside. Why? Because God said to.
Yes, yes.
Then we get to Peter, Andrew, James, John. What Peter, Andrew, James, and John had? They had a business. And, well, fishermen, just a bunch of ignorant, unlearned men, according to what some of the powers that be said, which is probably true. You don't have to graduate to be a fisherman. You don't have to have a PhD, post hole diggers. You don't have to have that to be a fisherman. But we do know that Peter was pretty successful. He owned a home. That's pretty impressive in that day and in that time. For him to own a home, he was doing pretty good.
Yeah.
They walked away from all of it. Followed Jesus, left, said, okay, giving it up. Now, I realize they were called into a special work, but nonetheless, that's what took place. The Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul left a prestigious position. Man, the Apostle Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees, more than likely in the Sanhedrin, which if he was married. And they don't like to admit that. So, which tells me there's a possibility if he was married, his wife and him didn't see eye to eye on what was going on. She was kind of like this prestige that you get from being married to a Pharisee of Pharisees. When you walk in the door, they don't do that for me. I walk into Walmart and all you get, hello, I'm Walmart. And you don't have to understand what they said anyway. And some of them don't even look at you. And then they want to see my receipt.
Yeah.
You know, I told him, I said, dude, I said, here, you dig it out. Because I put it in the bag. He says, oh, it looks okay. I'm like, all right. He lost a lot. Lost a lot of good friends. Not to mention they had intentions on killing him. They didn't like him. Because he had been doing what for them? Stopping this Jesus movement thing. And when he changed, when he got converted, that changed all of that stuff. He's like, well, now who are we going to use? Ain't nobody like Paul. I got a feeling old Paul was quite the fella. He might have been kind of a little guy. That's what I hear from people, but I ain't figured out how to. Well, anyway, you study enough on him, I guess maybe he was kind of small and didn't see well. I don't know. But nonetheless, he lost a lot. Now, in the book we're in, Luke chapter 1, and I'm going to say it was, I didn't write it down. And when she saw him, an angel, well, 28. And the angel came in unto her. That her, by the way, was Mary. And said, Hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. Now, I'd have been troubled too. Somebody showed up my house. Hell! You favored guy? Be like, whoa, you at the wrong house. And cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Uh-oh. Now, I want you to think about what Mary at this point is probably thinking, what'd I do? I do my normal life. I'm serving the Lord the best way I know how. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, in his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, Hold up. Hang on a minute. How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Have you not noticed I ain't married? I've kept myself pure. In other words, she was a virgin. She had not had any kind of relationship with a man whatsoever. And have you not noticed this deal? How am I going to be pregnant? And then he explained it to her. He said, the Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you, and you're going to have a son, and you're going to call his name Jesus. Now, think about what had to have, not at that time, because at that time, Mary's probably like, oh, wow. You know, I mean, she's got to be in shock to a point. But then, you know how it is when something really just, boom, hits you all of a sudden, and then a day later, you got time to think about it. Now, Mary had been planning on marrying who?
Joseph.
Uh-huh. Well, you got to figure. Yeah. Now, how am I going to tell Joseph?
Yeah.
I'm pregnant. Yeah. You know, that she had a lot of stress on her. Yeah, not to mention, in their day and time, that ain't going to look good. Whoa, Joseph, what you been doing? And dad was probably ready to kill him. You know, well, honestly, they could have been stoned for what was taking place. Because they weren't supposed to be out there doing what takes place to get pregnant. They ain't married yet. They hadn't consummated the marriage. So Mary's probably thinking, hey, you know, I had plans that we're going to, Joseph's got this little shack over here on the south side of Nazareth, or wherever he was at. And I was going to fix up that one little area and for the kid. You know, one of these days we'll have one. That's what happens. And, you know, I was going to put my little flowers up. And, oh, the extravagant wedding we were going to have. Because guess what? They got to dress up. Well, listen, they were poor folk. He was a carpenter.
There's a lot of things were changing in Mary's life.
But notice what she did. Well, I done lost my page. But notice what she said. It's awesome what she said. All right, I got to find where I was at. Yeah, because it blew my pages. The hurricane I got going, but it feels good. And then he told her, he said, "Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she's conceived." And he tells her, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." She didn't complain. She had an idea that a lot of things run through her mind that, hey, life's fixing to change drastically. People are not going to look at me the same anymore. They're not going to understand if I tell them. You know, "Well, now, Mary, how did this happen?" You know, because they're just baby growing in there and you tend to sway. Got to make room. And people are going to start noticing. And you know she's going to be sick. And you know she's, I mean, I figured they had the regular pregnancy. You know, women get sick during their pregnancies, and sometimes the men do.
That's right.
And you got to figure, she's running all this through her head. What's my mom going to? And I got to say, well, Mom, Joseph ain't done nothing. The Lord did this. What? You know.
Yeah.
You going to blame this on God? I mean, ain't that what we do anyway? Yeah, hello. That's what she had to do. She had to say, "You know, the angels showed up and told me I'm going to be pregnant from the Holy Spirit." Oh, you know. Hey, I'm sure they had a hard time with that. So things were changing for Mary, but Mary says, "I'll do it."
Yes.
Oh, but then there's poor Joseph. You know, Joseph got this idea, "Well, I marry a virtuous woman. She's a pure woman. I'm the only boyfriend she's had. I'm going to be the only guy that's going to kiss her. I'm going to be the only guy that's going to..." And wow. And then now she says, "Joseph, we got a problem. I'm pregnant." Well, can that deal.
Yeah.
You know, how they going to look at him?
Yeah.
Because first off, they're probably going to think, those afternoons you two went off over there on the other side of the hill over there, what were you up to? Joseph now trying to figure, and if he had a carpenter business going, and I'm pretty sure he did, it probably hurt his business. But nonetheless, he was willing. He could have said, "Well, I don't know what's wrong with her. She got problems. Do away with it." And they'd have done away with it. But he didn't. Joseph said, "Okay." The angel talked to him and said, "Hey, it's all right. Everything's cool. She ain't been running around on you. She ain't got no boyfriend. This is what's going to take place, Joseph." You know, they looked at it and said, "Okay, Lord, you know better." They trusted the Lord's guidance. You see, now that's a key plan. They trusted the Lord's guidance. You see, this they made a conscious decision. All these people that I read, and there's hundreds of people in the Bible that trusted the Lord's guidance.
Yes.
Do you think of Joseph? You know, here Joseph is, you don't read anything bad about Joseph. And Daniel. Oh, I shouldn't have left Daniel out. Here Daniel is, teenager at home, thinking about Betty Lou down the street. And then they haul him off to Babylon and they make a eunuch out of him, more than likely. It's not guaranteed, but there's a big chance they probably did. All that's blown out of the water now. Daniel says, well, this is where the Lord got me. And while I'm here, I'm not going to be an idiot. You see, there's a lot of changes. When we make decisions to follow the Lord's guidance, it changes things.
Amen.
See, big
Amen.
Plans for the future changes.
Yes.
But guess what? Our rewards later far outweigh what we can have now.
Say it.
They do. It far outweighs what we have. It's hard to say, well, you know, when somebody's got these big goals set, but then everything changes because of a decision we make for the Lord. Well, that just put a damper on that. But the rewards far outweigh 1 Corinthians 2:9, I have not seen nor ear heard what awaits us in glory. The rewards we've got. Oh, go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. Got to read this one. This is my favorite one. Though Moses. Think about Moses. Here Moses is. Here, we got to talk about Moses for a minute. Here Moses is. Moses made a decision. He said, you know what? The Lord wants me to rescue the people. Yeah. He already had that in his mind when he was 40 years old. Mm-hmm. And he looked left. And he looked right. And he murdered somebody. Mm-hmm. Well, surely they'll appreciate what I did. And they didn't see that. They're like, you going to kill us too?
Yeah.
And then Moses ran, was doing fine with his little dumb sheep. Up there cruising around on the backside of Mount Sinai in the desert by himself. Just everything's fine. And then the burning bush appears. And he's like, I'm going to go check that out. That was the first mistake. Turned out to be good for him. But I'm going to go check that out. He goes down there and checks it out. Oh, everything changed. When he brought the Lord into it, everything changed. What I'm trying to tell us in our lives, when we make decisions in our lives to say, you know what, we're going to serve the Lord, everything changes. We need to realize that some of our goals ain't going to be there no more.
Amen.
Now, it didn't happen. I don't know. My wife, she dedicated all our three of our children to the Lord.
Amen.
And that's a good thing.
Yes.
In the back of my mind, though, I'm like, you know, one of them, if they could be like a super heart surgeon, I'd have it made one day. You know, I might could lay back and enjoy a yacht. One of them yachts. Yeah, I might could have one of them and be able to just go snow ski all I want, and maybe I'd have the horses and the ranch that I wanted and just rope all the time. Wow, what a deal that would be. That'd just be a lot of fun because I like roping. But you know what? See, the Lord saw things different.
Yes, Lord, yes.
You know, that changed everything. We all have ideas for our children, what this one's going to be or what that one's going to be or maybe long-range plans we might have in our life.
Yes.
But when we are willing to look at, to honestly go to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, you do what you want with these children.
Say it.
Yes. It's your decision. Guess who they all belong to anyway? We're just here taking care of. When we say, Lord, you take them and do with what you know you want them to do, and we got all these plans, but a lot of that may change.
Amen.
When we make those decisions. Moses, had it made, he would have been God in Egypt. Pharaoh, by the way, in Egypt was looked at as God. You ever had that kind of attitude? Man, I've never had an attitude of I want to be God. But I did kind of have an arrogant attitude.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I liked it when people, you that horseshoer, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, that's me. What you need? You know, Moses had it made.
Yeah, yeah.
He could have had anything he wanted, and he said, no. What he said in verse 23, Hebrews 11, in verse 23, he said, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. We never had any proper children, but... And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt.
Amen.
Now you need to understand, Egypt had it all. If it was there to be offered, the pleasures to be offered, Egypt had it. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He realized, you know what? I want what God has waiting for me rather than this for just a little while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a blues fan. I like blues music. You ever heard of the term crossroads?
Yeah, yeah.
That ain't just a song. You ever heard of where two ways meet?
Yeah.
You got to choose. That's what a lot of that music's about. There's been a lot of those guys that I've listened to, and some of their music I still listen to. They're dead, of course. But they made a choice. Do I want to give everything I got to the devil so he'll make me famous?
Yeah, yeah.
They made a choice. And they were famous. And they were good. But that's in the worldly side of it. I'm going to be like Peter. They told Peter, James, and John, they said, hey, you quit preaching in the name of Jesus. Don't be using... Matter of fact, they didn't even say that. They said, don't preach in that name.
That name.
That's sad. When they won't say the name Jesus. Uh-huh. Don't preach in that name. I think what we ought to do is be like Peter and say, I'd rather obey God than man.
Amen.
Now, I want you to understand what it means in our lives when we say, okay, Lord, you may or may not have done this. But if you do ever do this or make the decision, you need to understand when you turn it all over to God, you want this in my life, you want this in the children's lives, you want this in the children's lives of the church, you want this church to be for you, giving it all to you, you do with it as you will. You can count on some changes. You can count on it. You may not be popular to all those that could have been popular. But you know what's going to matter in 100 years? What you did for the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
That's what's going to matter.
That's what's going to matter.
In 100 years, it ain't going to matter that B.B. King was probably... I don't know. He made that guitar just sound awesome. Listen, right now, and I don't know B.B. King. I understood he knew the Lord as Savior. I hope he did.
But it don't matter to him mm-hmm. right now, in either place he's at, what that guitar sounded like. What's mattering to him right now is, did I do what the Lord wanted?
Amen.
You see, we need to remember that in our lives. You young people need to remember that in your life. What's going to matter in 100 years, not 30 years. Mm-hmm. Because that's not far enough. In 100 years, when you ain't no longer on this earth, that's what's going to matter. What we accomplish here ain't nothing. We were talking about, me and Freddie, about the moon. Landing on the moon, we were discussing whether it really happened. You know, the truth is, Neil Armstrong, if he did, I wasn't there, so I can't back him up. But if he got out on the moon and he walked, as I saw him on 1969 on TV, pretty awesome. If he really, in fact, did that,
right?
You think that's going to matter in 100 years? Nope. I mean, think about it. God says, let there be a moon. There was a moon.
Yeah.
And we thought we accomplished something by possibly going there and walking on it. And leaving some trash up there. Because that's what we do. America does that. Anytime they go anywhere, they leave trash.
At least some trash.
You got to make sure everybody knows we're there. You know, we don't leave something. But in 100 years, what's going to matter is honestly what he said in that spaceship. I can't quote it, but when he was there and landing, they were talking about awesome what God had created. And it was unreal the way they were talking. And then he said, he got out and he walked on the, and I read a little article one time about how he gave all the glory to God for what he was doing. And I'm like, that's what's going to matter.
That's what's going to matter.
It ain't the fact that he walked on the moon. Mm-hmm. It's because he gave God the glory for things in his life.
Yes.